Well, good day and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, a hand car washing business that me and my wife operate here in Church Hill in the Palace Shopping Center. And my name is Matthew, and we welcome you to this time slot here on the radio if you're listening, or if you're listening on our website, which is washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And on the website, you can listen to this sermon if you miss it or want to hear it again. And also, you can listen to any other one that we have preached. For every message we bring forth, we put on the website free of charge for download or for just listening to. Also, if you come by the Wash and Word building and you tune to 107.1 FM, you can hear this and other messages that were going forth this week, playing on a loop on the 107.1 FM radio station, and they play all day long while we're open, so you can listen to this and the other messages that we go put on the radio this week. Now, being that this is a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we pick up where we left off. We are currently in the book of John in chapter 3, and we just got through reading that great part of John 3:16. You know, everyone knows that. We're in the middle of a we'll call it a debate between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus is trying to get him to understand, but Nicodemus is too focused on the temporal, which incidentally is why a lot of people are not getting saved. As plain as Jesus made the invitation, and as simple it is as it is today to be saved and to be grafted into the promises of Israel, people, they continue to grope around in darkness. Either the devil has blinded them, or they simply enjoy their sin too much to want to come into the light. And that's what Jesus says. He says that the verdict is in, that light has come, but people don't want the light. And what a sad state of affairs. But unfortunately, that is the way that things are. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. Jesus, again, just got through talking to Nicodemus about the salvation, how plainly it is. And he continues. We're going to pick it up we'll read verse 19 through 21 again. I think it's important to connect where we left off yesterday. And again, you can go back and listen to yesterday's message on the website, washandword.com. Jesus says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Now, in verse 19, there's an interesting paradox here about light and darkness, one that Nicodemus could not get into his brain. He couldn't wrap around his brain around it, no matter what Jesus tried to say or how he was saying it. And he tried. You know, Jesus explained as plainly and as simply as he possibly could, but Nicodemus simply could not grasp it. Why? Well, I believe it's because Nicodemus was trying to understand the light while moving about in the dark. You know, it wasn't until Nicodemus approached Jesus or approached others about Jesus in the light that he finally came to understand. He's groping around in the dark, literally, here. Remember, we talked about Nicodemus coming to see him in this part of the narrative. He's coming in the cloak of darkness. He's Nick at night, trying to understand light while moving about in the dark. And as we read in John 19 yesterday, Nicodemus finally came to understand. But listen, we cannot find the Lord. We cannot be born again. And we surely cannot reap a harvest of righteousness if we are going to continue lurking about in the shadows of our sin. The first step to being born again is to be, well, born again. I've seen so many people, even that guy that I see in the mirror, trying so hard to work and to manipulate their way around complete surrender, only to wind up frustrated and worse off than they were before. You know, I tell a story of God showed me this even before I became a Christian. I was probably about 15 or 16 years old, and I was getting ready to go out with some friends, you know, for just a mischievous night of teenager about the neighborhood. And I went to go out, and I took off my shoes to change them or whatever it was, and I noticed I had a pretty pungent odor. You know, my feet stunk, to be frank. And so I thought to myself, well, I got to get going. My friends are waiting. So I said, well, I don't have time to fix this, so I'm going to take care of it. And I took some Lysol spray, because I always saw my mom. She used to spray everything down with Lysol, and that seemed to fix everything. And I sprayed my nasty feet odor with Lysol. And I smelled them, and all that did was make a Lysol-smelling foot odor. It was even worse than it was before. So I thought, well, you know, they use baby powder, you know, on babies' bottoms, and certainly that doesn't smell good. So let's try that. And I sprinkled this baby powder on my feet, hoping that that would mask the smell. And it mixed with the wetness of the Lysol spray. And now I had this cakey, smelly film all over my feet, and it was horrible. And there was only one thing to do, and it's what I should have done to begin with. I had stuck my feet in the bathtub, I turned on the water, and I washed them properly. And God, years later, brought that story back to my mind, and I realized this is what we do. This is what so many that are groping around in the dark, like Nicodemus and others, this is what we are doing. We are putting things over our sin, over the stuff that stinks in our life. And every time we try to cover it up, whether it be a good work or we try to do something to counter it, all we're doing is adding something else over the sin. And it just makes it, in God's nose, stinkier and stinkier every time we try. And God says, look, just run them under the water. Just receive the living water. Clean them for good. And that is how we get completely regenerated. That is how we start from scratch. That is how we get from darkness into light. So stop trying to cover it. Stop trying to hide it. It's going to be exposed anyway. So repent of it. Confess it. And accept what God has given us. Another thing we read in verse 20 and 21 that, you know, people love doing that their deeds. I tell my son all the time. He's 13 years old. I tell him, son, be a man of your word. You know, in this world, there are so many people that aren't, they're not men or women of their word. There's so much shadiness going on. You know, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't make vows. Don't swear to God or do this or do that. Just let your yes be yes. Be a man or woman of your word. People can recognize that. They catch on to that, and they know if you are an honest, moral man, just being a man or a woman of your word. So, but if you're still living in the shadows of your sin, even those who confess to be in the light, which incidentally might be you today, you know, someone living, confessing to be in the light, but still lurking in the shadows, that is a Christian with a secret sin. And if you're a Christian that's dealing with a secret sin right now, you're trapped. You need to get out of that. That you're never going to have the authority or the confidence to be someone that God could use in a mighty way unless you get rid of it all. You will never be a man or a woman of your word if you're holding on to those secret things. Why? Because that underlying sin or that underlying secret will always condemn you. And you might say, but no one but God knows about it. And to that I say, exactly. If that is your response to your secret sin, then I say you're almost there. Now you're getting it. Because God does know about it. And your relationship with God is, or at least should be, first and foremost. Forget about what the world sees of you on Sunday. Forget about what the world talks about you during the week. When you get it right with God, everything changes. No longer do you have to live with fear or condemnation. When you are right with God, everything changes. No longer do you have to balance these two lives when you are right with God. When you are right with God, everything changes. No longer do you have to waver in your power and your authority when you are right with God. When you are right with God, everything changes. You walk and you talk and you act with power. When you are right with God, you naturally exhibit authority. When you are right with God, your words that are spoken come with an endorsement, and you no longer are questioned or doubted when you are right with God. So do not fear, Christian, to give it all over to Him. And do not fear, unbeliever, to submit to the one and only who can truly change you, because when you are right with God, everything changes. Now I want to finish the message today looking a little bit at verse 22, and then tomorrow we hope to finish chapter 3 in its entirety. But look at verse 22. It says, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized." And this is an important verse, though it might be quickly overlooked. Jesus, after this discussion with Nicodemus, went out into the countryside, and he began to essentially, says he spent time with his disciples, but that's just another way of saying he discipled them. He put time and effort into discipleship. And today, as we look around the church as a whole, we see discipleship is becoming less and less important. It seems to be a lost art in today's modern church. The goal today instead is larger audiences and greater shows taking place. I tell you, if I see one more smoke machine or laser light in a music worship section of our worship service, I don't know what I'm going to do. And one of the hardest ministries to start up and to continue to keep alive in any church is the small group ministry, the home fellowships. It's extremely hard. It is one of the most difficult, and I believe it is because it is one of the most powerful and effective means of discipleship, but it's fading out. People are not doing it in our churches very much anymore. You cannot sow a seed and not water it and expect the seed to be sown. And so the job that we are doing in our churches Sunday morning, whether you're doing a verse by verse, you know, teaching or not, you're still sowing the seed. You're still getting the word out there. At least I hope you're still preaching the word. But that seed must be sown, or the seed that is sown must be watered. It says Jesus went out to the countryside. And take note of this, okay? Effective discipleship is directly related to the surrounding environment that discipleship takes place in. I'm going to say that again. Effective discipleship is directly related to the surrounding environment that discipleship takes place in. That's why I believe he went out to the wilderness to get away from the hustle and bustle of the people that were coming out to witness the miracles. He took them into a place where it was quiet, where he could get one-on-one or one-on-eight or however many there are at this time. That's why small groups and one-on-one discipleships are so effective and so important. And we cannot do effective discipleship in the hustle and bustle of a Sunday morning worship service. This is our place to go and to be nourished by the word. I hope so. I hope that's what's going on. It's our place to worship and to pray and a fellowship with one another. But real discipleship takes place in a proper surrounding environment. And so Jesus took him into a small place, and I encourage you today, if you're new to this religion, to this Christianity, to this relationship with Christ, find someone, ask an elder in the church to disciple you. I guarantee they'll do it. And if you are an elder or someone who's walked with the Lord, find someone that's new in the faith. Find a believer and make it your point to disciple them. We cannot lose this most important aspect of Christianity. So with that said, we're going to pick it up tomorrow in verse 23 of chapter 3 in the book of John. I encourage you to join us back here at 8:30 Monday through Friday as we continue in verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew, and we invite you to come out to the Wash and Word in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill, or go to our website, washandword.com, to hear this and other messages. Well, God bless you and have a great day.